Ante Up is your poker magazine dedicated to the everyday player and their poker rooms. Pick up a free copy at your favorite poker room nationwide each month. But Ante Up is much more than a magazine. Visit anteupmagazine.com daily for breaking news and each week download our award-winning poker cast. Join us on our action-packed poker cruises to exotic destinations and find special deals on Ante Up gear and great poker products at anteupstore.com. Ante Up. It's your poker magazine.
From the WDAE Sports Animal Studios in Tampa, Florida, it's the Ante Up PokerCast. And now here are two guys who think they know how to play poker, Chris Cosenza and Scott Long.
It's November 14th, 2014. You're listening to the best poker cast on the interwebs. I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott, not the world champion Long.
No, you live in America.
I thought I had a chance.
You live in America. You can't win.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that because the day after the first date of Amber and I, which of course we're going to talk about Martin Jacobson winning the world championship here in a minute, but after the first day, I get a call from a woman. She's like, "I'm not sure I can. You can help me, but I'm just curious. I was so into that poker last night, and it went all night, and I recorded it, and I woke up this morning, and it cut out.
No,
like at 8 o'clock. So I don't know what happened.
No.
And she's like, so we had this whole conversation about. She's like, where I'm like, you know, I don't know really what happened. I'm going to guess that, you know, poker, you can't really predict how long things would go. And maybe ESPN had some programming they had to
get.
And she's like, what programming could they possibly have at 8 a.m.? And I'm like, well, they do have this little show called Sports Center, maybe. You might have heard of. But so anyhow, so I'm like, you know, I told her the three people that survived and then told her to come back. And she's like, no Americans.
Yeah.
That's so sad.
Yeah, the final three is just like, no Americans.
But anyway, yeah, Martin Jacobson, a 27-year-old Swede who now lives in London, is, as we mentioned, our new world poker champion. Yay! And $10 million richer for it. It took him 45 minutes to vanquish another Scandinavian now living in London. That must be the path to the world championship now.
Yeah.
Felix Stevenson for the title. And Jacobson came to the final table eighth in chips. And from what I understood, you watched more than I did, but most people tell me, hey, this dude put on a clinic, at least at the last day.
It was pretty remarkable. When I think of, you know, when you think of people like dominating a final table or something like that, you might think of Jamie Gold because he got hit in the face with the deck and he used his personality and stuff. But this guy, and I think I'm safe saying this kid, because he's 27 and I'm 44. So
we've already decided corporate policy, anybody younger than us is a kid.
Yeah, he always busts my chops for calling guys who are like 40 kid. But they're younger than me, so I think of him as a kid. But this guy, I mean, he just dismantled the table. And the way he did it was he made no mistakes.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty important.
That's what, I mean, no, I mean, really, though. I mean, you most of the time people will make a mistake and they'll have a big hand later that helps him rally and make up for that. But he didn't need to do that. I mean, he just – and, you know, of course, Antonio Esfandiari was the guy on air again with Alon and our good buddy Chad. But he was spot on, too, all night, pretty much both nights, Antonio. But because, you know, they know the cards and stuff.
Right.
But it's 30 minutes later now, delay too. But this guy, I mean, he was so cool under pressure. And you could see him constantly checking the chip stacks of everybody, like up on the screen, so that he would make the right amount of bet, the right raise, or the right, you know, right fold, the right call, whatever it was. It just seemed like he never really got into trouble ever. And it was pretty remarkable. When they got to the final three, it was over. I mean, it was just like, no one's going to beat this guy. And. You know, it was nice to see. He seemed like a nice guy, nice kid, whatever. And but yeah, really, just every single hand, it seemed like he optimized everything. Whether it was he saved chips when he needed to, or he maximized value, or he made the right fold, or the right raise, or he read the guy perfectly, or and then he went in with pocket tens, which I thought was funny because, you know, $10 million, pocket tens. You know, it was pretty cool.
Well, it's good to hear. I mean, I always like to see a story come out of this. And I guess we knew some story would have come out of this, right?
Yeah.
There's some good personalities in this. And, of course, the pretty much the whole world was represented somewhere in these final nine, it seemed like. The gentleman that finished third was from the Netherlands. So, yes, you know, yes. That, which is not Scandinavia, I know, but that little area of the world is really should be pretty proud of their poker right now. And you can go through London and there's apparently all these guys live there anyhow.
And, you know, the other interesting storyline that came out of this was, of course, Mark Newhouse, who, you know, made it to the number nine back-to-back years, which will probably never be beat, that accomplishment, and it's the most remarkable thing probably. But but this year was the year that they thought, you know, he's there fourth or whatever it was in chips when it started or whatever, and they really thought, all right, this is his year. There's no way he's going to go out ninth again. And then he did.
Yeah.
It wasn't really I mean, I guess you kind of call it a bluff, but it wasn't really a bluff at the end. And it was remarkable that he went out ninth again. And I mean, you feel bad for the guy because, you know, to get that close, to know you're probably one of the best, you're probably the best player at that table, probably, just for the fact of what you did.
Just for that sheer accomplishment.
Yeah, exactly. So to just, and then to have that kind of, like last year he was lower in chips, so to go out ninth was nothing. I mean, it just, hey, you know, one hand could do it. But this year, it was just like everyone thought he was going to really make a good run for it. And when he went out so early, so quickly, you know. But it's weird, though. I mean, do you feel bad for somebody who made essentially back-to-back final tables and about almost $2 million in back-to-back? You know what I mean? How do you feel bad? I mean, you feel bad for, poker, you know. But, yeah, I don't feel bad. I mean, the guy's made a ton of money, and, you know, he's got a lot of fame out of it. And I'm sure he was pissed off and didn't stick around for interviews or anything. Or I don't know if he did that or not, but I'm just saying, you see him just scoot out of there. He was not happy. And I feel bad for him that way. But really, you're coming away with, you know, $750,000 or something like that. And, I mean, you know, it's hard.
Well, I mean, the mental anguish of that's got to be pretty rough, right?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, let's just take your average first time November 9er, right?
Yeah.
And you have all this time off through you, and everybody has their own strategy on how to use that time off to their advantage. And then you get there, and no one wants to be the first one out, right?
Right.
And then you're the first one out, and you're like, and you know, you're probably at that point happy you made it that far, of course, and disappointed what you could. And then the next year, you do this unthinkable. You get back there again. And now you've got experience that nobody else, these other eight players, don't have. And you can go back with everything you do in life, right? You go back and think, hey, I could have done this differently or this better, right? Yeah. And so this guy had that ability, right? Yeah. I assume.
Yeah.
And then you get back there, and I give him all the credit in the world that he probably made whatever adjustments he thought he needed to do better than he did last year, and you get the same result. And it's not like there's, you know, he's got a better chance of winning the Powerball than getting back there again next year, right? You know, and maybe he will. That'd be phenomenal. But
well, I'm going to predict that he does.
More.
He does get back there. He's going to get back there. But now he's going to get back as chip leader. See, he's had a chance to get back there as one of the lower stacks.
Okay.
And then he's learned from that, and he went to the middle stacks, and he learned from that. So now he's going to say, all right, well, now I need to be the chip leader at the November 9 and see if I can win that way. So he's going to be back again next year.
That won't be a hard goal to accomplish. it was interesting, too. And I'm not adding to this guy's misery, because he really is the story of the year, I think.
Yeah.
But he was one of the November 9ers whose representatives contacted us inquiring whether we wanted to patch them, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, which I always giggle because people obviously think we are far, far richer than we really are, right? So obviously we declined. And so I actually was busy with work, and I turned on the first night a little bit later. And when I turned it on, he was already out. Yeah, because he was in your little scroll there, and I'm like, that would really sucked.
If we had finally said, hey, let's take out a loan and pony up some cash.
The business to put a patch on a guy and got however long screen time he had.
Yeah.
And then, and so, you know, again, I'm not trying to put any misery on him, but, you know, people aren't making as much on these patch deals as they did back pre-Brett Black Friday, at least some of them are,
because
of who they can represent. But they're making significant money, right? Yeah. And this is why I think I would have trouble doing this if I, you know, let's suspend all former reality here and think of a day when Scott Long is in November 9, right? I would feel, in addition to finishing ninth and all the disappointment you have with that, that's kind of tough to turn around to someone that gave you all this money, hoping that they're going to get all this exposure on, 18 hours worth of broadcast and get 30 minutes, if that. That's going to be tough to do as well, too. I mean, obviously people know the risk going in, but... But that's the first thing that came to my mind. I was like, man, that sucks to go out first and having all these people that pay for the exposure and aren't going to get it.
Yeah, and then the winner, Jacobson, had this huge patch on. It was massive for something that I don't know what it was. I didn't look it up. I'm not one of those people that just sees an ad on TV and goes looking for it. But he was massive on his shirt, so they got tons of exposure. I mean, absolutely a ton, because he was there to the absolute max.
Well, yeah, it's a gamble. That's what it is. It's a gamble for, our room down here in Florida, Best Bet Jacksonville, when Merson won. They, he wasn't... I don't think anybody predicted he would win, or should they? There was no overwhelming consensus. That's the guy they picked, and he went to win, and they made out with that. And then they patched up somebody again this year. But that's kind of gamble the sponsor takes. Hey, is this guy going to make it?
And the other thing, the point I was going to make was that they sent out the photo now of him with all the money and everything.
Yeah.
And somebody had taken all of the Swedish flags and covered his whole body with a bunch of little ones, and they covered the logo.
Oh, so all the badges.
Even though he got tons and tons of time on TV, which is way more valuable than anything to do with a photo, I just thought it was funny that these guys are paying for this patch, and they covered it with a flag, like a mini flag all over his whole body, which I thought was
hilarious.
Yeah,
for a country he doesn't even live in anymore.
Yeah, he doesn't even live there anymore.
I'm sure he loves it there. It's kind of funny to say. You know, it's because it's tough. When you're right, I'm thinking about this. I get the official press release from Seth Polansky there. And you know that's a tough thing to write, right? Because you want to say, Scott Long of Safety Harbor, Florida. You don't want to say Scott Long of Gahanna, Ohio, now living in Safety Harbor, Florida. It's kind of weird. So, but that's what he's doing. So, well, congratulations to him.
That's really great.
All right, so a slightly smaller tournament, but very big in a different way. Our Antioch Poker Tour down here at Derby Lane. Very happy to report that as of Tuesday night, they crushed the $250,000 guarantee. At that point, we still had four flights left in the $150 buy-in main event. And very excited to announce that because this is what we were hoping for, because it shows that a small buy-in, big guarantee event is viable in this new poker marketplace where people are trying to figure out how to price their tournaments to get the most people in. The winner here will be crowned this weekend. But, this was a big gamble for our partner Derby Lane, much more so than us. But obviously we wanted to see it work as well, too. And very excited that people responded well to it.
They really did. You know, you and I have gone down there a few times now, and it's remarkable. You know, I've never heard one bad thing about it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, every time you go, whether you're on a cruise ship or you're at a main tournament or, just a random tournament, somebody's bitching about something.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I know, it's poker. But really, I didn't find anyone upset at all or displeased or anything like that at all about it. They all thought, and there was one person I talked to, Tampa Bay Ray, and he's like, yeah, I said, I'm not going to go down in that piddly tournament, $150, and then he's like, "Oh, wait a minute! I can bag chips and $250,000 guarantee for 150." Yeah, and then he ended up playing like four times,
of course.
And he wasn't going to play at all. And it's because when you finally understand, that one, it's a massive guarantee. Two, it's like a free roll once you get in, so you can literally just keep going back for the same for $150. If you think about it, if you keep bagging. I mean, you could play like five times for $150. That's like $30 tournament each time you play, and it's a $250,000 guarantee. And it's just, Jeff down at Derby really, really put his head together, probably with his crew, and he said something interesting to me, too. He said he based this on the JetBlue model and not like the Spirit model, for the way that, and I think maybe you understand when he says that. I mean, to talk about the, you get you get something really good for something really affordable.
Right.
Rather than making it seem like it's affordable and then tacking on all this other stuff that screws you, that you're like, look, it's already a $300, $400 tournament now by the time I'm done with it. And that's not true. If you bag, it's like you're free rolling now. And if you don't bag, well, then you played $150 and you had your chance. They take you on JetBlue and they fly to New York from Florida. It's a cheap price and that's it. They don't screw you with, okay, oh, you want to, oh, I'm sorry, you want to do that, you want to do this, you want to do that, oh, the tickets cost more now, And that was kind of the model he said he used, and I'm just, it's really impressive, because you don't really think about poker using other markets or brands or whatever, doing that and translating it into it, but it worked, and I really love this this format, and just everybody I talked to. And it was so much fun to go down there on a weekend, because on the weekend everybody comes out, and then you see everybody you know, and it's like, holy cow, I know all these people. It was just, it was a lot of fun to be there and be a part of it.
Absolutely. And just in case people didn't hear our previous shows, the idea behind this is there are 18 starting flights, or will be by the time it's done. And if you make it to the top 12% in any of them, you get your $150 right back. And you can bag your five biggest stacks going forward. So a lot of encouragement to get back in and keep playing it. So the best little tournament in the USA is what they called it. And I think people are going to have a hard time disagreeing with it now.
And I wanted to tell them, hey, you know, next year when we do it again, because we haven't said that to them yet, but we're going to. next year you can have a BLT as your logo.
Oh, there you go.
BLT, best little tournament, bacon, lettuce, tomato, and then that would be like, it's coming, the BLT, and they'd be like, what's that? You know,
get hungry.
Get hungry, you're right, the buffet is coming, you know, or something. But, yeah, real exciting, and we'll be there for the final, of course, or I'll be there, I don't know if you're going, but I'm going to be down there for the final to, you know, take the photo of the winner and investigate and report, so should be a really good time. But you've been there more than me, because you like to play the other undercard events at night.
Yeah, so I originally was going to do three of them, and just decided, you know, boy, my bankroll was not up to that. But I played that six max that I talked about last week and had a good time, and then I'm almost never going to turn down a chance to play Open Face Chinese Pineapple. And so they had that last week, and very excited about it. And this is the first time. This is my third Chinese tournament I think I played. First one with Pineapple. But it's the first time I've seen Fantasyland used in a tournament.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it's kind of – it was interesting because the way I found out was we were already playing, right? And then at some point, like the first – I think it was the first hand at some point, I asked the dealer, we're not playing Fantasyland, are we? And he looked at me like I just asked him – well, the sky is green. And the other player at my table was like, huh? And I'm like, you know, we're not using Fantasyland, right? And they're like, well, of course we are. And I'm like, what? And they're like, yeah, why wouldn't we? And I'm like, because no tournament anywhere else that I've played it has done this. And then they look at me like, why? Why would they not use Fantasyland in the tournament? So we had a good discussion about it because I actually enjoy Fantasyland. I don't think it's good for tournament, but their argument was, how do those other tournaments ever end if you don't use Fantasyland? And I'm like, well, you know, it all depends on how you structure it, right? But
yeah.
But it's an interesting, I mean, one was a reminder that I should have looked at the structure sheet. I mean, it's one of these tournaments where I didn't think it mattered to look at the structure sheet, right? It's Chinese, right?
Yeah, right.
You know, every 30 minutes I'm going to get their six hands or whatever they're going to do. I'm going to do points and that's it. But so that first hand, because it makes a big difference whether you're playing Fantasyland or not, how you set your hand. And fortunately, I didn't have a hand that first time that I would have played differently had I known. But the reason I asked was because the one opponent at my table did set his hand as if Fantasyland was a possibility, which is what made me ask. So who knows? I could have gone four, five, six hands knowing I had not asked. So the fact that Fantasyland was in play really changes your strategy, which is fine because I can play both ways. And so we ended up with, of course, this game has to be played no more than three-handed, right? So I had this hand where I had some poor luck where I kept my opponents were big-time gamblers and went for Fantasyland every opportunity they had, which I don't think is optimal. But of course, when they hit it, then that's rough to fade, right?
Yeah.
So I ended up kind of short stacked, and so I was in the middle of the hand with, I believe, two draws left, right? And I get a pair of deuces, and I have a deuce on top. And I look at my board and my options, and I look at everybody else, and I'm like, I'm going to be out of this tournament unless I hit.
Right.
So I put the deuces on top, and it was like, you know, E.F. Hutton was in the room. Oh, my gosh, what are you doing? And as soon as both opponents said that, then they looked at my board, and they're like, oh, my gosh, he had no choice. I'm like, I know I had no choice. And so the very last pull, the very next one, I pull a king that gives me trip kings in the middle and a heart to give me flush in the bottom, and booyah! He gets some cold cuts today! totally hit it, and you know, people from all the other tables were coming over, like, "Oh my God, how could you have possibly hit that?" So, I mean, one, that's a huge payout to begin with because of you know, the trips in the middle. Obviously, the trips on top were huge.
Yeah.
You know, royalties on all three of them. Plus, that gets me into Fantasyland, right? So that gives me a little more turbo boost there. And then, unfortunately, I got to another hand where both my opponents got Fantasyland. I wasn't, and very hard to beat that, so got knocked out. But it was fun. I was glad to play it. But that's one of those hands that's the reason you play open face is to hit that last pole like that, and take the big gamble and have it hit.
I don't get it. So sorry, I'm sorry you didn't win any money or whatever. But I just don't get it. So up next, we have Pensacola Gray on track is hosting another Antioch Poker Tour event for us November 19th to the 23rd. Whenever that will be on our cover. And then the Palm Beach Kennel Club, where I will be December 11th to the 14th. I will be down there for a couple of days of that. We're really excited about it. I mean, it's like Florida Swing, if you haven't seen the magazine this issue. And it's great to have our, you know, our friends running some of our events with us. And you can see anything else you want to know about this at antiochpokertour.com.
And, of course, don't forget our Thunder Valley event as well, too, which will be over Thanksgiving weekend. That's going to be a big event out for your West Coasters out in Sacramento. That also will have a $250,000 guarantee. So three big tournaments. The two Florida ones will get you on the cover. The California one will get you rich. And as Chris said, we'll be at Palm Beach, and I'll be up in Pensacola. So come out and say hi to us and then win some money.
How exciting.
All right, so I don't know if you saw this, but PokerStars, miss you so much, is encouraging players to donate their frequent player points to help fight the Ebola crisis in Africa. And it was brought to my attention by Blasman, who I consider one of the Antioch Nation's other most fervent anti-Ebola hysteria curmudgeon, me being the other one. And we ended up with different viewpoints on it, so I thought it might be interesting for a quick bit on the show to talk about it. Now, to lay a little groundwork for folks that aren't Facebook friends with either Blas or me, we've both been just losing our mind over the fact that everybody else seems to be losing their mind over Ebola.
Yeah.
You know, I just, from the beginning, we both were like, what is everybody freaking out about? This is a very treatable disease. It's not very, the way we, our healthcare system is here. There's very little risk that it's going to spread. But the whole world went bonkers for like a month, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we've been kind of brothers in arms on this, chastising people for the hysteria that the media seems to be creating and people seem to be falling right into, right? So he saw this and immediately thought that I was going to be as outraged as he was. And I had to say I actually wasn't. And this is what I told him. And he had some good responses as well, too. But I told him I didn't really mind this because this – your frequent player points, what you do is you donate them, and they obviously they have a value on them anyhow, right? So if you want to buy a PokerStars shirt or whatever else. So it's the same value, but they're just going to take that money and give it to organizations that are fighting Ebola in Africa, which is the key, I think, because it would be ridiculous in my mind to give money to the United States to fight Ebola because we don't have Ebola here.
Right.
And almost never have, right?
Right.
But since this is going to Africa, to me, it's just another charity opportunity for people to partake in if they want. And if they don't believe in the cause, then they don't have to. And I think his argument was, you know, hey, this whole thing has gotten out of control with Ebola in general. He's like, but why not some other cause? Why not cancer or, you know, heart disease or something like that? And, you know, I guess my final analysis was, you know, no one's making PokerStars do anything to help anyone, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if they decide they want to help this, and it is obviously is a crisis in Africa, it's just not a crisis anywhere else, you know, people can participate if they want, or they cannot participate if they don't want. So I see a difference between that and this hysteria that held America hostage for a month.
You want me to comment on this?
You don't have to. We can move right on.
It's not that I won't comment on it. It's just that it is the flavor of the month kind of thing. It's what's most prevalent right now in the news, so that's right. What they're helping.
Exactly. And,
you know what I mean? I mean, if you think about how many kids under five are dying right now from starvation, right, over exactly. how many people are dying from Ebola. You know what I mean? So it's just, it's whatever is in the news right now. And so they're trying to say, hey, okay, well, we're going to help out with this because we want to stop it before it goes worldwide or whatever. And that's fine. But I mean, I see his side. There's, it doesn't have to be a disease either. It could be hunger. It could be anything. So
sure, absolutely.
There are all kinds of problems. So what picks one over the other? A lot of times it's just...
Right.
It's,
I think the point is the fact that it is in the media now. People yeah. are cognizant of it. Because I give you a year now, people are going to completely forget what Ebola is. That's right. just the way our world works, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, they're just kind of keying on the fact that it's in the public consciousness. You know, you got like a Hurricane Katrina or something like this, and then people come out of the woodwork to donate money for it, right?
Yep.
Whereas if you do just a general, you know, American Red Cross doesn't do as well when there's right. not actually something like that. So, you know, I think, I guess from a PR standpoint, and not that they're doing this for PR points, but from a PR standpoint, this is... You know, it's more successful when you pick the hot button thing that's going on that
exactly
conscious of, rather than just some random thing, you know, like hunger. I mean, who cares about fighting hunger other than we do, right?
That's right.
So we're very happy to announce that Pearl River Resort in Mississippi, Tampa Bay Downs in Florida, and the 101 Casino, Bankers Casino, and Red Hawk Casino, all in California, are the first poker room to join our Restock the Shelves Food Bank initiative. And, you know, Blue Shark Optics and Anyup's teaming up on this. And again, the general idea is we're just trying to get people to come out and play poker on January 19th and bring some food and cash to give to local food banks to help folks in their communities. And we'll remind you that we're looking for volunteers to represent Team Anyup at many of those events, and volunteers to help set up events anywhere, and I promise, anywhere poker is played. So whatever you want to do to help us get an event set up or get your buddies together, we would appreciate it greatly. Go for more information, visit antiupmagazine.com, restock, and help us feed some people that need some food.
All right, each week we spotlight a listener who calls our hotline at 206-338-6344 or emails us at podcast@antiupmagazine.com. And if they haven't won something from us in the past year, just like we do with Call the Foreign Hand of the Week, we'll send them something cool. This week's sponsor is J-Design Playing Cards, the official playing cards of Anyup. Check out J-Design's great cards and more at classicplayingcards.com. It comes from Steven Seagal.
Again, I will not make any jokes. I will not make any jokes.
Last week at our home game, we got into a huge debate. The issue was this. The board is King 7-7, Deuce 10 with three spades. One person said, I got the nut flush. The other person said, I got a boat. And the argument became, can you call something a nut hand without it being the actual nuts? If you had A7, do you have the trip nuts? Or a nut trips? I don't want to go there. We're not going there.
That would be so weird. I have trip nuts.
I don't want anybody to know that I have.
Use your frequent nuts. Player points on Poker Stars. Help me.
If you have ace king, do you have the nut two pair? Where is the line drawn for nut something? Is the nuts in that hand 7-7 and the only hand that can be called nut something? We were split down the middle and love to hear your opinion on this hot button issue.
Well, my first response to him was, this is why I love home games, right?
Yes.
You don't get these kind of debates in your poker room, right? Yeah. I mean, you get fun stuff every once in a while, but the home game is where this kind of stuff becomes bigger than the political climate in the United States and the
yeah.
world.
Yeah, exactly.
No, that's not the nuts. This is the nuts. So that's what I'll say. I had an opinion too, but go ahead. You can.
Well, I was just going to say,
you can lead the train here.
He 100% has the nut flush. He has the nut flush. The nuts just means the best. He's saying he has the best flush. If he says he has the nut hand, then he's wrong.
There's a
but
problem.
He could totally say nut flush if he wants, and it's kind of an angle shoot. He's trying to get you to fold your hand, but if you have the full house, you're not folding. So, but no, he could totally say he has the nut flush because he does have the nut flush. But it's funny that now translated to the nut trips with A7 or something. But
I promise you, next home game, I'm called nut pair.
Nut pair. Yeah, if you have ace king, you have the nut. The
which technically,
nut
I mean,
pair.
One of the funny things you hear a lot is nut nothing, right? You know, when you have ace king and there's nothing on the board, you know, so you've got the highest
card,
the highest kicker. It's a nothing, right?
Yeah.
Which is kind of funny, but
I have no nuts.
But in the back and forth with Steve on this, which I love, I was like, I almost wanted to have one of those GoPro cameras in this home game, right?
Yeah.
Just to watch this argument escalate, right? Because it seems like such a nothing thing to me. And it probably seemed like a nothing something to some people there. And for other people, it seemed like this, the weight of the world rested on solving this question, right? But I'm like, you know, so I think when the question is like, I'm like, hey, your arguments in home games, I get them. I just got to ask, how did this even come up? Like, who's passionately arguing that you can't say nut trips? Because it just seems so odd to me that anybody would ever have a problem with that.
I mean, I could see somebody saying, I got the nut flush, and the guy, like pauses for a minute, like, it's not going to show his full house. Like, you got the nuts. What? Oh, you got the nut flush. You know how the nuts. You got the nut flush. Like, that's what I said, nut flush. And he's like, well, yeah. I got the hand that wins, though. Why would you say? And I can see how it goes like that. It's pretty funny. But, yeah, I mean, he does have the nut flush. It's just not the nut hand.
Well, and what I always like to do, I always like to be Mr. Smarty Pants in the home game when somebody turns over nut flush, and I look down. No, it's not. It could be a straight flush.
That's right. It could be straight flush.
And actually, Fastos is the one that's like, he's using the table captain on that. And he's like, you got the nut, the non-nut.
Non-nut. High flush.
Non-straight flush, nut flush.
All right.
So, yeah, I guess I could see the potential really weak, pathetic, not even admit it to your friends angle shoot. Right. Calling something the nut when it's not the actual nuts, but I actually can't believe we even spent this much time talking.
I know, neither. Yeah, that's why I was trying to move on here, because you're still talking about it. Hey, find yourself in a situation at your favorite poker room or home game. Gee, we just had that, didn't we? And not sure what the proper ruling should have been? Email us at podcast@anyupmagazine.com, and we'll have Golden Nugget Las Vegas poker director Sam Minatello tell you how he would have ruled. This week's sponsor, Smapsoft, creator of the Chinese 13-card poker app for Apple products. Download the app today by visiting the iTunes store. I wonder what Sam would have said about the nut flush. Comes from our good friend Dave Bloomberg, official content provider for Annie Up Magazine. He says, a question came up at the home game recently, and while it was resolved amicably, it made us all wonder what would have happened in a casino. Two players are heads up. Player one checks the river. Player two picks up some chips, but has not made a forward motion or any declaration. Player one, thinking player two has moved the bet forward, says, I call whatever he bets. If player two then says all in, is player one bound to his statement and obligated to call that bet? Or can he get out of it because he spoke, took action out of turn?
Well, Sam says, this is what we like to call a conditional statement. The old, if you, then I will. It's not one of my favorite scenarios. It usually causes a lot of tension at the poker table. I made the exact same ruling every time in the scenario. The conditional statement is non-action. Now, just because I do not bind a player to what they've said doesn't mean that I don't pull a player aside and inform them of the disarray that they've just caused, and that if the conditional statements continue, they will be packing their things and calling it a night.
I've actually done this once in my entire career, and I was getting run over by this guy, and it was in Vegas. And I think it was Bally's. And he was on my right, like, and two players down, and he had taken me for a pot earlier, and then he had raised me off another hand earlier after that or something. So I finally had a big hand, and he's getting ready to bet. I'm like, dude, bet whatever you want, because whatever you bet, I'm calling. And he bet a ton, and I had the best hand, so it was cool. I won, but he's still
psychology going on.
Yeah, but he still got the best of me, and I didn't even think about it being a problem because I was going to call whatever he bet anyway. But yeah, I can see how I really shouldn't be saying that at the table. And
well, I think it's part of this poker bravado that comes out, you know, and not that it's a bad thing. It's part of what poker is, right? And you know, you're just confident. You're like, come on, go ahead, let's not horse around anymore. Get that money in. I'm going to get it in too, which happens a lot. But obviously, it's not proper as it is here. And the TDA really spends a lot of time on these conditional statements, and they really worked hard on trying to convince poker players to use proper terminology, speak only when they should be speaking, because the problem is that this stuff causes really big problems, as we see here, is that because now you've got the other guy going, well, what do I do now? You know, if he is he bound to that? Well, I'm going to shove all in, right? And then, obviously, that changes the action. Another guy can say, oop, thank you, I'm fold.
Yeah.
And then you feel cheated, right? Because, hey, this guy said he was going to call, so that's why I shoved all in, and that's not how it works. So the whole situation is a lot better if people don't even get into they just keep their mouth shut, which is usually the case that solves a lot of problems at the poker table. But
Can you smell that? Can you smell it?
I can't.
You can't smell it? It's a brand new O'Malley's move cooking in the oven. Here we go.
Welcome to another O'Malley's Minute. I'm Malcolm O'Malley. This week we're still at that same PLO 8 game. It's been a good night, and so far we've tripled our initial buy-in. Well, almost. We sit with 385. There have been a couple new players come in, but for the most part, over the roughly 4 hours we've been at this table, it's been the usual suspects. We're now nine-handed. Under the gun folds, plus one folds, MP calls, MP2 calls, hijack calls, cutoff folds, and we're on the button with the ace of spades, ace of hearts, five of diamonds, tray of spades. This is a good hand, so we're going to raise it up. We make it $10 to go. Everybody jumps ship except for the MP2 and the hijack. With about $30 in the pot, the flop comes down the nine of diamonds, seven of diamonds, deuce of clubs. This seems like a rather benign flop, so when both players check, we make a bet. We've got an overpair and the nut low draw. We put in $20. The MP2 calls, but the hijack folds. The MP2 is one of the new guys. He only sat down 15 minutes ago and has only played one other hand. We have no idea how this guy plays, what he's like, or anything. He's younger, a little cocky, but that's all we know. With all this in mind, the turn is the nine of spades. Once again, this guy checks. He started the hand with 200, and I'm curious as to the way this guy plays. Is he the type that will set a trap? Or is he hoping to get to the river for free? Either way, I think our hand is strong enough for a bet here. With $70 in the pot, we make a $50 bet. Once again, the player calls. Is he stringing us along? The river is the jack of clubs. This completes no flush draws and only a straight. With $170 in the pot, our opponent checks again. So, has he given up? Is our hand strong enough to scoop? He's got 120 behind. Can we push him off? What's the move?
It's time for Hand of the Week. Send your hands or situations to podcast at antiupmagazine.com. And this week comes from Sean. We've heard about him. I heard from him before, so it's good to hear from him again. He is all the way up there in Hopkins, Minnesota, which I believe the high was 25 degrees the other day.
Wow.
Again, folks, other places to live.
Yeah, and it's still America where it's warm, so come on down.
I'm wearing shorts right now, buddy.
Come on down.
And I know Chris is wearing shorts.
I don't even have a shirt on.
Oh, man. All right, so I played this following hand last night over at the Horseshoe in Hammond when I was visiting Chicago for work. Wonderful town. It says, and I'll tell it from the villain's perspective, as I'm extremely curious how you guys would have played this hand if you were him. After it happened, I spent a fair amount of time trying to figure out what I would have done if I was in the villain's shoes with hands in range I would have put my opponent on. Ultimately, I concluded that I would have played the hand differently, but I was curious how you'd play it. So he's doing the whole switch around, but he's upfront and honest about it.
Okay, but and he's not the villain or the hero, right? He said he's trying to figure out how, or is he? Is he one of them?
I actually have no idea.
Because right, he said he played that hand, right? So he must be one of these people.
Yes. All right, it's a 1-2 no-limit cash game. As we said, Horseshoe Hammond. Says the villain has been at the table for about two orbits. Hero was already at the table when the villain arrived, and both players start the hand with squiggly 275.
Okay.
Hero is under the gun plus one and raises to $8, which says the standard raise. The standard raise of this table is between 7 and 10, so
it fits right in there.
Threads the needle, folds around to the villain in the big blind, who has king of spades, king of hearts. Question one: what do you do?
Yeah, I mean, pretty standard. I think we would re-raise, and if we had any reason to not re-raise, it would have to be explained here. So since I don't have anything like, hey, there's a guy behind me who likes to re-raise for no reason or something, then I might just call. But there's no other real reason to call here.
Well, you could do a little trap thing here, but you'd have to be disciplined to get away from it if the ace comes and stuff. So, I mean, the more profitable play, I think, is to go ahead and raise.
But, yeah, I just don't want to let somebody else in for
$8. You want to have a little fun. Well, you're the big blind now, so...
Oh, that's right, we're the big blind.
So we're down to heads up with this guy, regardless of what we do.
Yeah. The other thing, too, is it's hard to... Trapping out of position sucks. I hate to trap and be the first to act all the time. I mean, it does.
Exactly.
It's not bad to check, call, and then shove or something weird, but to me, I don't like to have to be behind. I'd rather be in position trapping. So I probably would raise to, I don't know, what do you make it, 8? So, I don't know, 25?
Sounds good to me.
Okay.
And that's exactly what the villain does. He's 25. Look at that. Hero calls. Flop comes. 10 of hearts. 10 of clubs. 8 of hearts.
All right, so I'm assuming. What do you do? I'm assuming there's like 50 something in the pot. So
everybody else folded. So 50 plus the small blind. So yeah. 51 minus rake.
Yeah, so I'll just say 50. So I don't know. I'd bet. I would. It's a nice flop for us. I mean, there's the only hand you're really afraid of is pocket eights or pocket aces or a 10. So
and this one kind of sucks about taking the lead early on because now this guy can really put you to test on whether he has a 10 or not, right?
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
if you didn't raise, you did the whole trapping thing, then you have a few more options here now. But
yeah,
now it's tough because either you check and essentially give up control of the hand or check with the intention of check raising and say, aha! Or you put a bet out and with the risk of knowing that this guy could raise you with anything, trying to represent that 10.
Yeah, I'd bet like 35, maybe 30, 35.
Sounds good to me, and I think you got to do it confidently too, right?
Yeah.
No hesitation over whether you don't have the 10. Just own this flop, which is probably a good flop for us, right?
Yeah. It feels like it. I mean, we got pocket kings. Like I said, only three real hands beat you.
We also have a heart too. Not that that really counts right now, but there's two hearts. It helps a little bit. Yeah. Twinge,
yeah.
All right, so our villain leaves out for 50.
So
about a pot-sized bet.
Yeah, that's a pretty big bet.
The problem with that, I think, is if the guy does try to represent the 10, now his raise is going to be much bigger, right?
Yeah.
And you got to figure that out. After a few seconds, the hero calls. All right, this is question 3. What hands do you put a hero on here after he calls this flop bet?
Well, it
I think it's tough to answer, right?
It's tough to answer, but to me, it's not a hand that's not made already, though. I don't think, like, ace-queen is calling here. You know, or even ace jack, or even ace king. I think a hand like a pair, like a jacks or nines, something along those lines could be calling here. And also, like you said, somebody slow playing a 10. If somebody had jack 10, just seems weird that he would call $25 with jack 10. So maybe ace 10. Maybe I'm in this hand. I don't realize it. When was the last time I was in Hammond? I can't remember. but no, but really, I mean, it's hard to have a 10 here, I think, unless it's a suited ace 10, given that he was under the gun plus one when he raised preflop. You know, it's hard to put him on jack 10 raising preflop and then calling a re-raise. So,
but if he does have a 10, this is probably how I'd play it, right?
Yeah, if I do have a 10,
I'm not worried about calling. The flush against one opponent that's betting into me on this, right? Or raised and then is continuing up. I'm not worried about the flush at that point, so I might as well string him along a little bit rather than...
Yeah.
Because you know, normally you'd want to protect your hand, but I don't think you're protecting your hand against anything here. So that's the problem with the call, I think, is... This is exactly how a 10 would play, but it's exactly the same way a flush draw would play.
Yeah.
And exactly the same way, like you said, a smaller pair would play.
Right, exactly. So that's the other thing, too. So then you have to start to eliminate, in your mind, as it gets him moves on, you have to eliminate things that might not seem logical. So have you ever heard of Occam's Razor?
I've heard of Bic Razor.
No, Occam's Razor is sort of a thing where it just says giving something that's very, very difficult to happen and something that's much more easier to happen, the simpler explanation is always the truth.
Okay.
So in this case, to me, it seems a lot more difficult for somebody to have a 10 in their hand given the way it played out preflop. So
sure.
I'm going to go with like a pair here that, you know, right now we're probably ahead. I still think we're ahead.
Okay. All right, so the turn is the Queen of Hearts. So now it's a 10 of Hearts, 10 of Clubs, 8 of Hearts, Queen of Hearts. So Flush gets there, though we have the King of Hearts in our hand. And Squiggly at 150 in the pot. And just a reminder, both players have about 200 left. So question 4 from Sean, what do you do?
Ugh. That's not a good card at all. I mean, you know, Ace, King of Hearts. Oh, we have the King of Hearts, but Ace something, Ace, Jack of Hearts. Could have been in that hand and done it that way. A flush draw would easily have raised with ace, jack, or hearts preflop and then done what he did up to this point.
That's a really difficult thing, right? Because, part of the advantage here is you get the king of hearts, so you're still alive for a flush. But if you're up against somebody that's already made flush with the ace, it doesn't help.
Yeah. Oh,
although, man. I guess you could still get a boat out.
And somebody could have ace 10 with the ace of hearts in their hand.
Right,
and so now they've got you don't have that draw as a backup, and he's already got you beat with three tens, and you're screwed. That's maybe the only hand I think could do what they did preflop with really, if he has a 10 in his hand. So the other thing, a pocket queens, too, is a possibility now.
Yeah, you raise pre-flop, right?
Raise pre-flop, then call yours, because that's what you do with queens. You're not going to just shove a $275 of queens.
Which so cuts now, us down two outs.
Yep, he just hit his two-outer to make us have to hit a two-outer, so that kind of sucks. So, and it is hand of the week, or whatever, so, you know, queens could be possible now, too. So that's a terrible card, I think. You're really hoping for a deuce or
a check and a check behind kind of situation, right?
Yeah, this is why it sucks that we're out of position now, too. But I'm going to check. I think I'm going to check. I don't. Maybe not. It's too narrow of a range for me to. It's hand of the week, which always dictates what I want to say. But if I'm playing this hand, I'm probably still betting. I really am.
Well, how much of a bet do you put in before you feel like you're pot committed here? And I'm not saying you would be yet, but I mean, I guess the minimum you could bet here probably is 50, right?
Yeah, I think if I bet like 75 to 100, I'm committed.
Now, if you did 50, that leaves you 150 behind, which you probably can get away from.
Yeah.
If you do 75, like you're mentioning, then you're getting close to being committed, I think, right?
Yeah, if I put 50% of my stack in on a bet, I'm committed. But if I put in, I think 75 is like the closest I could get to folding still. This guy shoved on me. So I think that's what I got.
At that point, then, do you go ahead and just shove the whole thing, right?
Yeah, exactly. So if I'm going to bet more than 75, I might just shove.
So it's almost 50 or all in.
Yeah, it's close to that. I think. I mean, like I said, well, 75. Maybe 75, right. That's what I was saying. So maybe 75.
All right, so based on that, then probably 75 is the best bet since we don't have anywhere near the best hand right now, right?
Yeah, 75 is a good bet.
With some pressure on, but not commit ourselves. All right. Villain thinks for a good 15 to 20 seconds. I don't know if 15 to 20 seconds can ever be described as good in a live game. Before going all in for his remaining squiggly 200. And Hero snap calls with Queen of Spades, Queen of Clubs.
Yeah, yep, there it is. There
further it is. Rubs salt in the wound, the case Queen of Diamonds falls in the river, giving Hero quads.
Wow.
I wonder if you got free tickets to the topless vampire show. Like I didn't. Stratosphere that I couldn't use. All right, so anyhow, he says, I did not write this to brag about catching a two-adder to get a huge pot. I really was curious how else this hand could have, should have been played. I'm thinking about this hand from the villain's perspective. He has an overpair and a second nut flush draw on the turn. Since Hero did not 3-bet pre-flop, I think ace-ace is likely not in his range, but king-king, queen-queen, jack-jack, 10-10, ace-king, ace-queen suited, maybe even ace-jack suited are. Since villain has the king of hearts and the queen of hearts is on board, Hero likely doesn't have an ace-high flush unless it's ace-jack of hearts. So after that turn card falls, the only hands a villain can beat and that the hero might continue with at this point are ace of hearts, king X, ace of hearts, queen X, and jack, jack. If I were the villain, I would have bet 75 on the turn, as the board is quite scary. It's a half pot bet and still leaves villain 125 behind for the river. If hero calls the $75 turn bet, which he would have done, why raise queens full with that position? I, playing as a villain, would have either check called or check folded the river depending on what came. Kind of interesting that he arrived at
pretty much the exact
right amount that allows you to get away from this hand.
Yeah, that's so weird. It's exactly what we were talking about, and he just summed it all up, even down to the ace-jack suited stuff and everything. That's pretty wild. Yeah, I have to agree. I mean, I don't agree with that shove at all. He had enough money to get away from that. Put 200 in there. That's just for. I mean, for what? What are you doing?
He thought for a good 15-20 seconds. If he thought for a great 25 to 30 seconds, maybe he would have came up to that that realization, which was kind of tough. I mean, this is what I know people hate about the hand of the week, because we sit here and spend 20 minutes, 30 minutes talking about this, right? And when you're at a table, you never have that much time, or you never feel like you have that much time.
Right.
And I think a knee-jerk reaction wouldn't have ever arrived at that $75 number that you and I together arrived at by talking it out, right?
Yeah.
And at the table, you're alone with your own thoughts. And like I said, I probably would have bet 50 and got away from this hand. Somebody else would have bet 100 and felt like they're committed. And the 75 seems like the perfect size. But it would have taken a lot of thought to get there.
Yeah, because, I mean, I applaud putting the pressure on the opponent to make the decision, you know, by going all in like that. That's kind of, but really, if you think about it, you know, because what if you bet 75 and then the opponent goes all in? Now you've got something to think about. Now the pressure's put back on you, but what hand would go all in here? that I can beat with King King. And then you can think about it a little more. And then you go through what you should have gone through before we shoved. You would have bet 75 only. And then you would have already come to that conclusion. You could have gotten away from it. So in this case, the shove is, like I said, I applaud putting the pressure on someone else. But you just chose the wrong time to do it and didn't think your hand through. Yeah, I would have bet 75. So,
well, the other thing too is how many hands are going to call this? This is almost a situation where you're only going to get called by a better hand for the most part, right?
Right.
That shove.
Yep, exactly right.
You know, because the only hand you can beat that might call it is the ace of hearts with, I don't know, a queen or an eight that thinks that, you know, maybe they got a pair right now that might be good, and they have the flush redraw. That's about it. I don't see a lot of underpairs calling a shove here.
No. Or and, a 10. You know, somebody with a third 10 right, might fill up to a boat.
Yep. Has you crushed.
So.
And I made a good point that ace is probably not likely, but, you know, I mean, really, you're limiting it down, and maybe jacks but would probably call you here at this point, but only a couple hands were actually going to call that shove that don't have you crushed.
Yeah. And to pull the facile here, he says that it was a second nut flush draw on the turn, but it's not because straight flush is possible.
Ah, yes. Mr. Smarty Pants.
All right, thanks for the hand of the week, though. Always appreciate it. And I like the twist on it, too, that he switched it around and was upfront about it. Not every poker player has to be deceptive. I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Logs.
We'll see you at the tables.
Annie Up is a production of AnnieUpMagazine.com and is recorded at WDAE 620 AM in Tampa. Contact us at podcast@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call our hotline at 813-448-1120. If you'd like to advertise, send us an email at advertising@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call 727-331-4335. Some music used in this episode comes courtesy of the PodSafe Music Network.